In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our courage, dearly redeemed disciples of Jesus, the first and last time I played my son in the game of Stratego, he was only in fifth grade, and I was winning. I had over half of his soldiers all in the captured pile at my fingertips. And then, in his little voice, he says, "Dad, you lost." "What? Look at the board." "No, Dad. You have no bombardiers left. You can't get at my flag." And with that, he proceeded to tell me how he had divided his troops into two forces, one of which he attacked with cannon fodder, as cannon fodder, while I just demolished and captured all of them, and the rest guarded his flag. At that point, what else could I say as a dad, but it's time for you to go to bed. And then, strategy. I turned the board around and looked at it from his angle. "We'll see about next time." Next day, coming home from school, driving, I thought, I'll pick his brain. I'll figure out what he was doing. But when he proceeded to tell me from memory every move I had made and each man that I lost on every move, I decided maybe we'd try a different game next time. And that's how some people try to live their life with God. I have a plan. I have a strategy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get my life back together. I'm going to, and then God doesn't act the way we expect. And what's the natural reaction from us? I'll take my marbles and go home. I'll do something else. We give up on God. We give up on that group of Christians, or at least we quit praying and worshiping as often as we did before because God didn't do what we thought He should do. And you'd think, looking at Elijah here, that he's taken the wrong plan too, but you better look again. Because what Elijah is doing, strangely enough, is exactly what the Lord wants us to do. You can put it in our regular way of talking now and call it dumping it all on God. But that's what He wants. That's what He wants, especially at those times when you have to just cry out like Elijah and say, "I tried, but I failed." Your worst nightmare isn't even close to the life that Elijah was trying to live at this time. The prophet of the Lord. You'd think people would be impressed, especially this queen and her husband, because through Elijah, the Lord had stopped the rain for 3 years. When Elijah said it will not rain a drop on the land, it happened. Now, stop and think. No cub, no rainbow, no refrigerators, no canned goods. 1 year with no rain is dangerous. 3 years, total disaster. And this was especially right between the eyes of this queen because, well, she, you know her. Her name has come down to us as synonymous with perversion and cruelty and wickedness. Her father was the king of Sidon, and she had introduced into the northern kingdom of Israel, it was divided at this time, those 10 northern tribes, is Baal worship. It was a fertility cult. Baal and his consort, Asherah, they get the gods turned on by their sexual orgies in their worship services, and that supposedly made the earth productive and fertile. They worship nature. It was Mother Nature. It's the way we call her today. You know, weathermen can't say God sent the weather. They have to say Mother Nature. Well, it was very much like Baal worship. Well, this queen should have gotten it with no rain, and especially should have been impressive when Elijah said, "Now it will rain," and it did. It wasn't enough. You know her. Jezebel. You don't know too many women named Jezebel. She had nearly 1,000 prophets, and the showdown finally came when Elijah, a lone prophet of the Lord, stands up to these nearly 1,000 prophets. There could have been thousands of people watching all this. You remember the big test? 2 altars, 2 bulls. You take your choice. There's more of you than there are of me. They're praying to Baal, hear us, send fire from heaven, because that's all the God has to do to prove His presence. Maybe He's asleep. Maybe He's on a long journey. And they're cutting themselves, and Elijah's taunting them all day long, and they're dancing around, raving, no fire. Evening sacrifice comes, and Elijah tells them to rebuild the altar of the Lord, 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, puts the bull on it, on top of the wood was there, and then pour water on it 3 times. It filled the trench all the way around the altar. And Elijah's simple prayer, Lord, show the people You are God. And a fire comes from heaven, not just on the sacrifice, burns up all the stones, the dirt around there, licks up all the water. This is spectacular. And the people got so excited when Elijah ordered that they kill all those prophets. They did. Jezebel is not impressed. The very next day, she sends this message to Elijah. May the gods deal with me. That would be swearing by her gods. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Who's going to speak up for Elijah? He ran. Wouldn't you? And by the time we catch up with him in our text, he's already passed the halfway mark on the journey. He gets to Beersheba, the place of 7 wells and the 7 oaths, and there the Lord feeds him twice so that he can go 40 days and 40 nights all the way to Mount Horeb, we call Sinai, the mountain of the Lord. You get the impression that he's upset? He's in a cave, spends the night. The Lord asks him, draws him out with the question, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And it just pours out of him, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Elijah had the same problem as pastors and religious leaders today and the people as well. You can see this problem if you just watch TV and you see there's the preacher and there's this great big auditorium. It looks like it's just filled with people. I'm told that it's so important to people that the place be full and packed that they can computer generate people from the crowd and fill in all the blank places. Because after all, you have to have all the seats packed. You have to have the parking lot overflowing. You have to have everybody voting with their feet, otherwise it can't be true. We tend to look at the things that our eyes can see. We want our feelings all wrapped up in this instead of listening to the word of the Lord, and that's what Elijah was doing. He was going by what he could see. So the Lord sends him 3 things to see and feel. That awful wind that tore the mountains apart, where was the Lord in that? Or the earthquake and the fire? Not there. And then the gentle whisper, or as the King James translates, the still small voice, the gentle whisper of God's word. This is how God has chosen to do it. What Paul called the foolishness of preaching, simply proclaiming to the people their sins and proclaiming to the people their Savior, and this saves souls. And it confounds the wise. And those who are enlightened or think they are. The Hindu man took my water bottle out of my hand yesterday and he noted that it was down about 1.5 inches. He says, this is the way you should be, not thinking Christianity is the only religion, but leave a little room for other religions because they want to embrace them all. And I kept telling him, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No, they won't have that because it doesn't fit the human mind. The Lord confounds the wise. He tells us we're not good the way we are. I'm not a good person. I don't want to admit that. It hurts to hear it, especially when I've disappointed myself, when I haven't been as brave as I ought to be or as kind and patient. Not a good pastor and even a worse Christian. You know the feeling. You've disappointed yourself. And the law says you deserve to go to hell. I do, you do, so does everybody. And the man wouldn't accept that either. That's where it is. But the cross of the Lord Jesus, this cross, which he has as a memento to take home because somebody at the slice of Shoreview gave him a cross. And he's taking it home as a memento from America. I said, look at that cross and see what God's own Son did for you, how he shed his blood to wash your sins away. You don't have to go reincarnating over and over again. Just once you face your Lord, but he's forgiven you your sins. He's given you the righteousness of Christ. Heaven is open as a free gift. Pray for him when you look at a cross and you think about him having that hanging somewhere in a drawer at home. Pray for him that this gentle whisper of God's word will get through. And thank God for the miracle of what it's done for you and me. When we're ready to say, I tried and failed, God's word whispers on. But Elijah's not done. He's not done at all. He's so upset that when the Lord asked him the same question, what are you doing here, Elijah? It's almost like on your computer when you tap the sound file and it plays back exactly the way you heard it the last time. That's the great thing about digital music, MP3 files. You tap on it. Well, Elijah's got the same complaint. In the Hebrew, you can follow the words. They're straight all the way across the line. Exactly the same thing. Pours out of him, same complaint. And the Lord says, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel, and anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. You may not know these people, but they're famous in the Old Testament scriptures. At the time, the northern kingdom was still on the rise. The wicked king Ahab would die. His wife Jezebel would be eaten by dogs and scattered as dog dung all over the field, just like the Lord said. Other kings would come. All 19 of them up north would be evil. But the Lord continued to bless them, and the power is rising. And then Aram comes against them. Aram, otherwise known as Syria. Still Damascus today, Amman, Jordan, Damascus is Syria. And this king Hazael would be anointed as king, but not by Elijah. And this Jehu, who would become a king of the northern kingdom, was to be anointed, but not by Elijah. The Lord says, you go do it. And when Elijah goes back, it's the same as saying, thy will be done. I'll take the assignment. But the one thing out of the three that the Lord has Elijah actually do is to anoint his successor, Elisha. Elisha becomes the prophet who did so many miracles, and Elijah goes up to heaven in a chariot. Don't miss this about our dear Father in heaven. When you're down and out and tired and you can't get the help that you need, there's always more needing help than there are willing hands to say, let me, here am I, send me. I mean, some of you are frustrated because we sign up guys to usher the men so that we can tell the women in our congregation week after week, we want to serve you as our sisters in Christ. And some of the men signed up on the activities page to usher, they don't call, they don't show up. And some of our brothers are asked to do it over and over again, and it gets tiring. I can sympathize with that. It gets tiring when you're working so hard and it just seems like there aren't others to say, here, let me help. So you want to give up. Well, the dear Heavenly Father will not condemn you at your times when you pour out your heart to God. In fact, dumping it all on God is exactly what He says to do. Our big mistake is when we try to dump it on our friends and family. I'll never forget my sister telling me about a high school girlfriend telling her, don't tell me about your parents' divorce because I have enough trouble of my own right now. People can't handle these things. They do have their own problems. It's a rare individual that has the strength of the Lord that can actually encourage you and carry your problems to the cross where they belong. But that's what the Lord wants you to do and me to do. He wants us to go off by ourselves. If it takes a 40-day journey, go off by yourself. Don't leave your responsibilities, but dump your heart out to God. Just pour it out on Him. And what's remarkable about the way the Lord deals with Elijah here is He doesn't criticize him. He doesn't get angry with him. What's your problem? Feeling sorry for yourself. That's how we talk. That's not the Lord. He feeds him twice. He sends all these natural examples and then whispers the still small voice. And when Elijah is still complaining, God doesn't say, what am I going to have to do with you? He says, this is the plan. Go back the way you came and do 1, 2, 3. Elijah goes back. He's now strengthened by the good news that God is merciful and kind. He's put his hope back in the Lord Jesus, the coming Savior, the Messiah. And he's ready. But the dear Heavenly Father doesn't make you do all those things. He anoints Elisha. Elisha goes and anoints Hazael, king of Aram. And Elisha sends another prophet, deputizes him, to anoint Jehu. The work gets done. But it's not all yours, and it's not all mine. It's the Lord's. And that's the last point that he makes here, the one we don't want to miss. Elijah, you think you're the only one? Oh, no. I've reserved for myself 7,000 in Israel that have not bent the knee to Baal or kissed him. Do you hear echoes of our Savior years later who would say, where two or three come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Do you see your Savior leaving the crowds behind and all these enthusiastic, excited people and saying, let's go off by ourselves into the desert, telling people not to tell about him because they'd get the wrong idea and want to make him a bread king or a military leader? He does not want that kind of human emotion that's just based on what you see and feel in this earth. He wants faith. And faith is tested, tried, and shown to be what it is at the time when your eyes can't see what God has promised, especially at those times. Elijah, I've got 7,000 in Israel that have heard the still small voice, the gentle whisper of the word. About this time, there was a prophet in the southern kingdom whose name was Isaiah. And one of the beautiful verses in Isaiah is this one, and the King James, I think, puts it the best. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Peter sinks when his mind is not stayed on Jesus. Elijah runs when he gets distracted by the violence against him. You and I have problems much quicker than that with far lesser challenges, but thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And when you go off by yourself, instead of complaining to people, and you take your complaint to God, remember that hymn, I know that my Redeemer lives. And remember that line, he lives to hear my soul's complaint. Pour out your hearts to God, and then say, thy will be done. And trust that as soon as he sees that you are willing as a child to follow your dear Heavenly Father, he will gladly step up and take the burden off your back and carry it himself. That's the way he is when you're dumping it all on God. Bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Please rise.